Now, why did Jesus didn't go out and say, well, who will come? Whosoever will may come. Oh, no, he chose 12. He selected them. They didn't have anything to say about it. Jesus decided who he would call. Peter didn't decide he'd be the head, the leader among the ministers of the church, the apostles. Jesus decided it. The apostle Paul didn't decide it. Jesus struck him down, blind, and put him through quite an experience to wake him up because he was going the wrong way, and Jesus just turned him around to go the other direction, so to speak. So it isn't a case of whoever will can come get into the kingdom of God. No, not now. And there's a reason. And I want to explain that reason. I haven't come to the real crux of this sermon yet. All this is building up to it. Now we're coming to it. The day of Pentecost, he called 120 that were filled with the Holy Spirit that day. I don't need to turn and read that. Next, the second chapter, beginning with verse 1. But now, with a spiritual mind, they were sent out to grow in grace and in knowledge. 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter said, this is the last words of Peter in his 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, anyone who comes to have the Holy Spirit, now the Spirit of God will open their mind to understand when they are taught. So you must grow in spiritual knowledge. In other words, go to school. That's what it means. Go to school. Now, next I want to read from Hebrews, the 5th chapter and verse 12. I want you to notice, Paul says here in writing this book of Hebrews, for when for the time ye ought to be teachers. Now, he's talking to the people in the church and says, you ought to be teachers, you in the church. You should have learned enough to be a teacher. You have need that one teach you again. Because they weren't good students and they weren't paying any attention in the first grade and the second grade and the third grade, and they didn't learn very well. To teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God, that is, in spiritual knowledge and the way of God, and to become such as have need of, you are become such as have need of milk and not strong meat or solid food, only just liquids and milk like a little baby. A baby hasn't grown up yet. We, although we're grown human beings, are merely infants in Christ. We are merely in the embryo and the fetus stage of the kingdom of God. Now you'll notice Revelation 5 and verse 10, where it's speaking here of Christ has made us unto our God kings and priests. And priest means teachers. And we're to be teachers and kings, ruling and teaching, and ye shall reign on the earth. That's in the kingdom of God. And we're being taught. Everyone in the church is now a student being taught so we can become teachers and rulers under Christ in the kingdom. That's the point I've been trying to get over. Now, I want you to notice what Jesus said here in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh, overcomes the wrong things and goes by the way he's learning, and learning in spiritual knowledge, will I grant to sit with me on my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father on his throne. And in Revelation 2, verses 26 and 27, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron. But we're going to teach them a new way of living. The kingdom of God will have to live a different way if it's going to have peace. When we don't have peace in this world. We have some progress, yes, but even that progress has been retarded by competition. Competition even within an organization. Capital is against labor and labor is against capital. And the laboring man is taught, well, give the boss as little work and cooperation as you can. Get all you can get from him, we'll go on strike for more wages. But let's give less. Let's not give him anything if we can get out of it. Let's produce as little as we can. And so in everything today, it's man against man. Brethren, listen. Take two people. It started out with God and the Word. They were two beings. Now take two people today. And one is trying to get something for himself. So he has to get it out of the earth. So he tries to get something for himself out of the earth. But here's this other person over here, and the other person is trying to keep him from getting anything and trying to take away from him even what he already has and to stop him from getting any more. And so this man is trying to prevent this other man from getting anything and to stop him from getting any more and take away from him what he has. No wonder it took us up into the last century of 6,000 years before we could send men to the moon and photograph Mars and Jupiter and Saturn. Because man was working against man to stop his progress and to prevent competition. Everyone against everyone. Everyone trying to get and trying to keep the other person from getting. Now then, we have two persons and each is wanting to help the other. And this person is interested in what he can produce out of the earth and so is the other. But this man, A over here, he tries to help B. He says, I'll do all I can and I'll help him do what he can. And B says, well, I'm going to help A. I'm going to work with him. We'll cooperate. And together, will they produce more than if the two are fighting against each other and each trying to take away from the other? Can you see? When cooperation comes, now Satan argues that competition is better. He argues that, you see, if you're all for yourself, that is a spur to endeavor and to arouse you to ambition. So you'll work harder and therefore you'll produce more. Yeah? You produce more when you're working against the other guy and he's working against you and each of you's trying to prevent the other from getting anything? Oh no, you work more when you both put your heart in it and both trying to help one another. When you work together. I'm going overtime. I'm going to have to stop, but I've given you the message. I didn't know I was going overtime. I got so interested in it myself. I don't go overtime very often. I hope you were interested too. But the church is the kingdom of God in embryo. Now let me just, I have to give you this in conclusion. When I was over in Amman just recently and in Jordan, I found that the princess, who is the wife of the heir apparent to the throne, in other words, it's King Hussein's brother, Prince Hassan, she had started a school for the mentally retarded. And I got interested in it, and I went out to see the school, and the princess showed me all the way through. And they had mentally retarded children, and they were trying to teach them. They even had to teach them how to put a button in a buttonhole. They had to teach them how to go to the toilet, and they had little practice toilets for these little kids. They had to be taught how to do everything. Because they were mentally retarded. And their parents didn't know how to teach them. Now, they had just a little over 100 pupils there, I believe it was. And I said, well, now, is this all of the mentally retarded people in your nation here? She said, oh, no, it's only a small fraction. I said, oh, you mean you've got a lot more mentally retarded? Oh, yes. Well, I said, why can't you go on and teach them all? Well, Mr. Armstrong, we can't teach them till we first teach teachers. We have to get other people taught how to teach them. And we can't do it. And they're trying to do that. Do you see, Jesus couldn't start the church until he taught some to be teachers. Jesus can't start the kingdom of God until he has all of us as teachers to teach the millions. So he called 12 to teach a few thousand. And there were 3,000 converted that very first day, and they were taught by the 12. And then they were multiplied for a few days, and they must have gotten up to about 100,000 or so, and about the size of this church right now. And then they went backward. And then the false doctrines came in, and false apostles, and the true gospel was suppressed and was not preached to the world. And even the true church began to lose most of the teaching that they had. When I came among them, they knew the right name, Kingdom of God. They knew about the Sabbath, but oh, there's so much they didn't know. They didn't know about the annual holy days. They didn't know the purpose of the church. They didn't know the meaning of it. They didn't know what's going to happen in the millennium. They just knew there would be one, but they didn't know anything about it. You have to teach teachers to teach the others. Christ came to start a new world, a new civilization. People think this civilization is wonderful. Oh, it's Satan's civilization. Jesus came to start God's civilization. He started it with 12. Then he started it with the church. Now here are more than 1,000 of us right here today. And each of us is going to be able to teach several hundred, if not 1,000. And if there are 1,000 of us, and each of us can teach 1,000. See, is that 1,000,000? I guess so. How many does it take to teach the billions of the earth? That's why God did not call everybody. He was not calling the world to salvation. The world can't be saved until they learn the way of God. And to learn, they first have to have the Spirit of God and then begin to learn at the beginning in first and second grade. And then maybe equivalent to junior high and high school, and then they can get into the college and university. And he's calling us now in order that in the millennium we can teach the millions and even the billions. Listen, the world thinks that Jesus came to teach, and if you just say, you got the password and I accept Christ, and you go forward and get a little of Billy Graham's literature and go home, forget all about it tomorrow morning, that you're going to get in the kingdom of God. Oh, no. We have to learn the way of living of God. The way that is cooperation that helps to produce. And brethren, ultimately, after that 1,000 years and the great white throne judgment, we're going to go to other planets and we're going to raise up new people.